Inside Florida Politics, powered by Gannett. Hello, I'm Sarasota Herald Tribune political editor Zach Anderson, and I'm joined this week by Antonio Finns, the politics editor for the Palm Beach Post. Hey, Antonio.
Hey, Zach. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Well, John Kennedy is off this week, so Antonio and I will do our best in his absence. Governor Ron DeSantis continues to be under the microscope this week as he pushes to reopen the state. DeSantis convened the first meetings of his reopened Florida task force, which is working to come up with a plan to end the statewide lockdown. We'll talk about the debate surrounding ending the lockdown, including protests that have erupted around the state and new polling on the issue. And we'll also touch on the latest coronavirus relief package passed by Congress, which has pitted Florida's two U.S. senators against each other. But first, you all know what that music means. It's number picking time. Antonio, did you come with a number today?
I did. I did indeed. It is 69 million.
69 million coming in strong. Well, you got me beat. I am coming in low with a 4. That's 69 million for Antonio, 4 for me. Remember those numbers, folks. Write them down. We will tell you what they mean in Florida politics at the end of the show. Well, Florida was one of the last states to implement a lockdown, and now Governor Ron DeSantis is hoping to be among the first states to reopen. DeSantis has been forceful in recent days in arguing that it's time to get businesses back operating. The governor criticized media reporting on models that were created by public health experts, noting that the model predictions that Florida's healthcare system would be overwhelmed by coronavirus patients have not borne out. The governor created the Reopen Florida Task Force to give recommendations for how to safely end the lockdown, which is set to expire at the end of this month. But public health officials have warned that opening too soon could lead to another wave of infections and deaths. Democrats are pointing to expert recommendations that more testing is needed to safely lift lockdowns. But the governor is defiant. Antonio, DeSantis received a lot of criticism for how long he waited to institute a lockdown. Over the last few days, he's really seemed pretty upset about that, almost like he felt sort of unfairly goaded or pressured into the lockdown. He's complained about the media and the experts and sounded a more partisan tone, going on Fox News a couple of times and sort of echoing President Trump in a way. The partisan split here is pretty remarkable. Are you surprised that this has become just another issue in the culture wars?
No, because this is central to the culture wars. The fact of the matter is that, you know, DeSantis, like Rick Scott, even Marco Rubio, has always been small government conservatives. And right. to them, the idea of what small government conservatives have always complained about, the nanny state, government overreach. Sure. That the idea that the state knows better about the individual, how the individual should act than the individual him or herself. So this is a key culture war, one of the third rails of the culture war. So the interesting thing is that, you know, if you look at it with DeSantis going on Fox and really starting to, you know, to complain about, you know, the idea of, you know, that he get goaded into this lockdown or, you know, looking that he keeps emphasizing the hospital numbers, the fact that there are open beds, that this is not as bad as it looked like. You know, what he's really doing is he is trying to keep that small government Tea Party / you know, Trump base in line. That is his political base. That's his source of power. And he's trying to basically, you know, appeal to them and to say, hey, I'm on your side. I'm not going to, you know, be on the side of government overreach. You know, he's complaining about the media, but his real problem is conservative media, because you have Laura Ingraham asking Dr. Anthony Fauci, hey, you know, this could vanish this week. You know, really? We have a million cases across this country. You know, we have almost 50,000 deaths and we're still waiting for this thing to vanish. But it is conservative media, Fox News, One America Network, that is really pushing this narrative of the nanny state of government overreach. And that's really what's creating the agitation among the base for it to open up, you know, notwithstanding the fact that government in reality, if you take the small government advocate role here, you look at from their point of view, government has failed. I mean, the fact of the matter, look what's happened with the unemployment system. the benefit system in Florida with the small businesses. You basically have all these businesses, all these entrepreneurs, all these people that have lost their jobs, and they, you know, they're going on now 4 or 5, 6 weeks without getting a paycheck or getting any kind of assistance. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that's what his problem is, not, you know, the independents and the Democrats. His real problem is, you know, how do I keep my base in line and trusting me to, you know, to move forward? Because that's where the agitation is right now.
Yeah, and we're seeing that agitation among the base in some of these lockdown protests in the Capitol and in Michigan. There's been protests in Ohio and Pennsylvania and other places. And the president even seemed to encourage these protests a little bit, saying, you know, we need to liberate these states, and then sort of backed off of that a little bit. But we've seen some of these protests here in Florida as well. Here in Sarasota, where I am, there was a protest on Monday where they were calling it Operation Gridlock, and they were going to drive cars through downtown Sarasota, but there didn't end up being that many cars, and it ended up sort of devolving into a small street protest with people standing on the corner waving signs. There's also been you know, a prominent business person in this area and a Republican donor who is organizing what he's calling a flotilla for freedom. Make America open again is how they're billing this, and they're going to have boats over the weekend. They're going to meet and have some sort of boat waterborne protest here. It's interesting to see some of the signs that they're putting up. Fire Fauci, the top infectious disease expert in the state, going after some of the experts out there. I know there's been some protests in your area as well, right?
Yeah, but they've been a little bit more of the unusual kind. The real agitation so far in Palm Beach County for opening up has come from the golfers.
That's a true Florida protest.
That is a true Florida protest, and you know, and they are organized. They had a petition as of last weekend. About 1,000 people had already signed it. The county mayor, and remember, in Palm Beach County, does not have a strong mayor from a government. It's the every year one of the commissioners is named the ceremonial mayor, but it's the one who speaks on the part of the county. But he has drawn the line saying, we're not opening golf courses, we're not opening parks, we're battening down here. And he's doubled down on the whole lockdown. But the pressure is growing. And in fact, one of the commissioners said this week that, you know, that he was open to hearing a plan on how to open up golf courses. And I think a lot of these protests in Florida have been very sporadic. But I do think, you know, that you're going to see more of this coalesce as we get further down the line, as we get closer to May. We're going to see more, and they're going to have, may have to be some give on the part of governments. Particularly, look at what's happening in Georgia, where they're opening up on Friday. South Dakota. You know, we're going back to, you know, going back a second to DeSantis. Yeah, he's also feeling pressure from the fact that all these other governors are acting and taking the line of small government conservatives, and he's kind of the outlier. But we are seeing, you know, very sporadic protests. But the one area where we're seeing a real determined push has been the golfers. And it is a big industry in this county and in Florida as well. So
sure. And you know, it shows sort of how this is the ridiculousness in some ways of this, because golf courses are not closed everywhere. And in the Sarasota area, some of the golf courses are still open. The governor's lockdown order did not actually close golf courses. It allowed recreation to continue, but the lockdown order in Palm Beach County and I guess, you know, Broward and Miami-Dade went further. So I could see that, you know, golfers in Palm Beach might be like, hey, why do they get to golf in the Villages or in Sarasota and we don't get to golf? I mean, there is, when you don't have uniform standards, I'm sure it can create some frustration among people. Are they citing, you know, the fact that golf courses are open elsewhere and arguing that they should be open in Palm Beach?
Yes, they have. And they've actually even cited what the governor has said, that, you know, the idea of individual exercise, that if you're out running or you're biking or something where you're not coming into contact with other people, that right. should be encouraged. And they're making the same argument that, well, you know, we can get on a golf course. You're not packed in. We can, you know, stand 6 feet apart. It's possible. You get exercise. You know, you can regulate the number of people going through. It's open space. So, you know, they're making a lot of those arguments, and the fact that they're seeing in other parts of the state this form of recreation, to, you know, being encouraged and or at least being permitted and available, and they're saying, why not here?
Well, it sounds like DeSantis is definitely open to that argument. And you mentioned that these protests are sporadic, and that's true. Here in Florida, you haven't seen major demonstrations. And I think that's kind of interesting. You know, the states where you've seen the biggest demonstrations are Democrat-run states. Florida is obviously a Republican-run state. So it does seem like there's some politics involved here, and there's more, you know, conservatives seem more willing to protest Democratic governors maybe than their Republican governor, and Trump maybe more willing to stoke protests against Democratic governors, especially in swing states that maybe he needs to win during the presidential election. It's also interesting to me, I mentioned that, you know, that some people have been holding up posters, including somebody here in Sarasota who she was wearing a pink Trump hat. She held up a poster that said "Fire Fauci." I mean, it shows sort of the divide between conservatives and Democrats to some degree, where conservatives, and this is a familiar divide, are a little bit more skeptical of experts and just following scientific advice, and you know, Democrats seem to, you know, fall back on, well, this is what the scientists say, and conservatives, you see on things like climate change, especially, are saying, well, you know, we don't necessarily trust the science. You know, does this debate have some familiar themes here, you think?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, what is, you look at what Fauci heads, it's a government institute. And what are government institutes? Well, they're part of the deep state. They're part of this bureaucracy, this massive bureaucracy that small government conservatives have always railed against, a massive bureaucracy that then starts dictating to the population, to the residents, to the citizenry, how they should behave and when what rights they get and what rights they can exercise when. That is classic small government conservative theory, and what they've been railing about, you know, ever since the New Deal. And so Fauci comes out and he says, we got to do this. And they see that as government intrusion on their lives. The individual should be able to choose what they do and when. And the whole issue of social distancing, of lockdowns, that all cuts across individual prerogative and, you know, individual rights. And so this is, you know, forget the Mueller report or the Mueller investigation. I don't know that we have ever seen an issue that is more, you know, more ripe or more suited to that whole deep state anti-government view of small government conservatives than the lockdown and social distancing.
Yeah, but the problem is that people keep dying here and the case numbers keep going up. So it's sort of how do you balance your individual freedoms with the broader public health? Well, it's a very difficult question for public policy people.
And what they're being told by their advocates on conservative media is, look at the numbers. It's far less. The infection rates, you know, remember what Trump has been talking about, 60,000 or 50,000. One time we were talking about 100,000 deaths. You know, they're basically hearing that this crisis is being overblown. The governor has said that there are parts of the state where it is a much greater emergency, and then there are parts of the state where it's not. And this is a message, this is a narrative that they are hearing constantly.
Right, right. And DeSantis has really fueled that narrative. And over the last few days, he's basically said, well, these experts, these models have been off. Florida's healthcare system has not been overwhelmed. And I think that maybe is contributing to some of the skepticism that we're seeing among some folks here in Florida. But if you look at the polling, a lot of people do not agree with these lockdown protesters as DeSantis, you know, moves forward with lifting the lockdown. Polling does show that Floridians are concerned about easing these restrictions too quickly. A Quinnipiac University poll released on Wednesday found that 72% of Floridians don't want to loosen social distancing rules at the end of April, when the governor's lockdown order expires. Additionally, 76% of Floridians believe the economy only should reopen when public health officials say it's safe, according to the poll. And 63% of those surveyed said that if social distancing restrictions are eased, they would be uncomfortable going back to work unless the state has widespread testing for the virus. The poll also found 50% of Floridians approve of how DeSantis has handled the coronavirus crisis so far, and 41% disapprove, although 61% think he could have responded sooner. Antonio, what do you make of these poll numbers?
Oh, man, this is the $64,000 question. You just picked the one topic that really is going to be decisive here. Because what the Quinnipiac poll did was they didn't just survey Floridians, they surveyed voters. And the largest block of voters in the state of Florida are older people. And who is most at risk of coronavirus? Older people. So sure. Basically, what you're seeing here is, you know, that this infection, this virus, goes after perhaps the most important voting block in the entire state. And a voting block that will cut across race and ethnic lines. We've been talking so much about quote unquote, you know, identity politics. And for example, you know, Hispanics and how does, you know, the immigration debate play with Hispanic voters? And we've talked about, you know, even women, you know, how the battle over reproductive rights and equal pay, how is that going to affect that voting block? Well, when we get to November, the most important voting block, the voting block may be older voters. And here, you know, Trump in his home state is really cutting across and cutting against the one block of voters that has the most to lose in this crisis. And basically, they're telling us, you know, the reason that number 72% is so high is because of the number of older people in the state and older voters. And they're telling us we're afraid and we want to play this conservatively. And you have the government, particularly the federal government, basically cutting across, going in a different direction. And if you recall, a few weeks ago, the FAU or the University of North Florida poll said that, you know, that only 36% of those polled in Florida trusted what the president said, and 60 to 70% trusted what Fauci and the scientists were saying. So this is really a red alert for Trump and for the, you know, the Florida GOP, that, you know, they are risking going into this, the fall elections. They are really risking angering and deeply angering and turning off the one pack of voters that could be the most decisive one. And that we know are the most reliable voters.
And are the base of the Republican Party. Older voters are the base of the Republican Party. And you wouldn't see 76% of people saying the economy shouldn't reopen unless public health officials say it's safe, unless a significant number of Republicans felt that way. So it does seem like, while the base of the party might be agitating to end the lockdown, a good percentage of Republicans are nervous about this and are worried. And a lot of them are probably older people, like you said, who are very vulnerable to this virus. And, you know, maybe young people can go out and the majority of them will be fine. But, if they interact with their parents, their grandparents, there could be some big concerns there. So a lot of this might be how they structure the end of the lockdown, you know, how much thought is put into it, how much medical, how much are they relying on medical experts? How much are they safeguarding older individuals? We'll have to see what kind of plan the governor comes out with likely next week. His Reopen Florida task force is supposed to come up with some recommendations at the end of this week. It looks like the governor is trying to get those together and have a plan for when the lockdown is set to expire at the end of April and roll it out. We'll see. He says he doesn't have a timeline yet, but these numbers do show that there are a significant number of people, including a significant number of Republicans, who are skeptical of reopening too quickly. Well, as state officials debate lifting the lockdown, federal officials passed another coronavirus relief bill this week, almost half a trillion dollars. There was a lot of jockeying over what would be in the bill. Republicans wanted to focus solely on increasing funding for a small business assistance program that has run out of money. But Democrats were able to add money for hospitals and testing, among other priorities. The small business assistance effort, though, wasn't without controversy, even within the GOP. Florida's junior U.S. Senator Rick Scott slammed the program for handing out money to larger businesses and saying it was wasting money. U.S. Senator Marco Rubio, another Florida Republican, is really the driving force behind this small business assistant effort. So Scott's criticism is something of a veiled criticism of Rubio. Antonio, there's been some tension between Scott and Governor DeSantis. Now he's undermining Rubio. Is this a case of there only being room in Florida for one top dog among the state's top Republicans?
Well, let's face it, there clearly is a rivalry among that triumvirate. But I also think it speaks to that this is the 2020 version of Mr. Scott goes to Washington and Mr. Rubio goes to Washington and Mr. DeSantis goes to Tallahassee, where they're out there and they're campaigning against, you know, big government, as I mentioned earlier. And look at the three of them. Look at where they're getting hit hard on. Okay, Rick Scott, elected in 2010 in that big Tea Party wave election. Following in the next couple of years, he dismantles really the unemployment system, the benefit system. He takes it apart, streamlines it, makes it much smaller, much more complex, make it harder for people to get unemployment benefits. Here comes a crisis. What happens? The system falls apart, and he's taking all kinds of heat for that, and, you know, sure, deservedly so. Then you look at Rubio, okay? Also one of the 2010 Tea Party election winners back 10 years ago. He comes up with this small business loan program, and what he did was, distrusting, again, the government bureaucracy, distrustful of the government machinery, what he does is that to give the money out, to spend some money, he bypasses the Small Business Administration, which is the government entity that usually runs that, and he gives it to the bank. He gives it to the banks, as he says, the banks will do this much more quickly, much more efficiently. What do we found out? Well, yeah, the banks did give it out. They gave it out really quick, but they may have given it out to their preferred customers, which could be larger companies. And has left, according to, you know, NFIB, has left 80% of those small business people who applied for the money, left them empty-handed and now waiting for next time, which may be around the corner because they have struck a deal. But then that's what Rubio is taking a beating for right now. And then you look at DeSantis. Look, this guy, 2 years ago, when he was running for governor, and he was still showing up on Fox News on almost a nightly basis, ripping, you know, Mueller, you know, ripping, you know, the investigation of the Russia hoax, whatnot. I mean, I remember watching Jeanine Pirro back in June of 2018, you know, highlighted him as one of the members of Congress that was out there battling the deep state. So he gets elected. And now what? You can't be a big government guy. You have to govern the way that you campaign. That's what your base expects. And that's what the issues that he's had with the lockdown. You know, just because he is the governor doesn't mean that the people who are distrustful of government are going to believe more in government. You know, they're not going to believe in government because he's the governor. You know, they're going to want him to act and to curtail the powers of government. And that clashes against every bit of science and every bit of health research and every bit of the data that we've seen so far. You know, the lockdown is necessary. It's necessary because we're not testing, and that's an entire conversation. But there's no argument that this lockdown is necessary. And that's why DeSantis is in the conundrum. So I think, yeah, there is this rivalry between the three of them to an extent. But I think what is really driving it is that each of them is encountering a huge challenge in trying to govern and to act as a small government conservative at a time when, you know, only a government can really address the crisis at hand.
And Rick Scott's not wrong. There is some concern that this small business program has been manipulated. There's reports that Shake Shack, which is a popular chain worth over $1 billion, has a bunch of locations. They got $10 million from this. You know, this is a program that was supposed to benefit businesses that had 500 employees or less. And it seems like some businesses have got around that by having each of their individual locations apply for this money, even if they're a big corporate chain. Ruth Chris Steakhouse, based in Florida, they also got money. There's some real concern out there, not just, you know, from Rick Scott, but from others, bipartisan concern that this program was not necessarily doing what it was intended, and that, you know, the favorable companies that had, you know, good relationships with some of these banks were able to get money where others weren't. But it does seem like typically maybe you would hold your fire a little bit if this is a program that was, you know, created by a Republican who's an ally, who's your home state senator. But Rick Scott has kind of just kind of let it rip on this.
Yeah, he has. And, you know, look, he's right in that this is what happened. Shake Shack did have to give back its $10 million. The AP did an investigation that found that 94 publicly traded companies had received, just among them, $365 million in loan money. That's the issue. The problem is that the reason it's the issue is because they went, quote unquote, the private sector route. They bypassed government. So if you're Rick Scott and you're bashing this program, what you're really doing is you're bashing private industry. The same people that he's always talked up as creators of jobs and the ones that should be in charge of the economy. Is it grandstanding by him? And he is taking a shot at a fellow Republican. I mean, but at this point, I think what you're seeing with Mitt Romney now apparently endorsing Joe Biden, I think what you're seeing is that old Reagan line, what was the 11th commandment? Thou shalt not criticize another Republican. That kind of went out the door some time ago.
And Scott, DeSantis, and Rubio are all, you know, considered potential presidential candidates going forward. So I think, you know, each of them is trying to come out of this crisis and looking better. DeSantis has really struggled. His approval ratings have taken a hit. Rubio, this program, which seemed to have a lot of promise and has helped a lot of companies, but is also gotten a lot of criticism for the rollout and how it's worked. He's taken a bit of a hit. So it looks like Scott is trying to capitalize, but Scott has taken a hit too because of how bad the unemployment system is. And DeSantis took a jab at Scott and said this $77 million computer portal for unemployment, he called it a jalopy at a press conference yesterday or the day before. So, you know, he's really laid the problems for this unemployment system at the feet of Rick Scott. They're all sort of pointing fingers and trying to jockey for advantage. And I think part of that is that these are, these are big issues and a lot of people are paying close attention. But it's also, there is a bit of a rivalry there. Well, we're going to move on to some number picking here. DeSantis, just called you DeSantis. Antonio, your number was elevating you to governor. Antonio, your number was 69 million. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the 69 million at this time last year, the state tourism marketing agency was about to release numbers showing that in the first 6 months of 2019, the state was on a record pace for 69 million tourists. Multiply that for the rest of the year, and that would have been 140 million tourists last year. And, do an average, and that would be that at any given point in the state of Florida, for every one resident, there would have been seven tourists here. And what this speaks to is the nature of the Florida economy, particularly mass-scale tourism, not just tourism, but mass-scale tourism, 140 million people a year. I mean, all of Europe, I bet, doesn't even come up close to that number in their tourism. This is, Florida is the tourism capital of the planet, and it is central to our entire economy. I mean, the number of jobs out there that are either directly tied to tourism or somehow benefiting from tourism is way well into the millions. And we heard the projections this past week from the Florida Chamber of Commerce that the earliest that the state could emerge from this economic crash that has been forced on us by the coronavirus, the earliest would be fourth quarter of this year. The latest would be, you know, the mid of 2024, which is 4 years from now.
Wow.
I don't think anybody wants this to go on for another 4 years. But what will determine that will be how quickly we can get back to mass scale tourism, which cuts against everything we know about the coronavirus. Mass scale tourism is based on packing people into lines to ride Space Mountain, packing people onto beaches, packing people onto airplanes to get here, packing people onto cruise ships to sail out of here and then back. Mass scale tourism has been the economic engine in this state for the better part of almost 20 years. And what the future of that is, it will determine, I think, how quickly we get back to some notion of normalcy, which could be, instead of when you show up at Disney World, instead of buying Mickey ears, you get a Mickey mask. But, you know, will it be end of 2020 or sometime in 2024? The return of mass scale tourism will determine that.
Yeah, the number one industry in the state, and you know, those numbers are staggering, and it's pretty remarkable to think of how that is just totally ground to a halt. And you see it in the unemployment number. I saw the Orlando Sentinel had a story today about 25% of all the unemployment claims in the state are tied to tourism jobs. Disney alone has stopped paying 100,000 workers. I mean, this is just an utter calamity. But you make the point that how do you do tourism? You know, it's an industry that is conditioned on bringing people together, and we're trying to keep people apart. It seems very hard to get it going in a safe way. And we'll see what they come up with this Reopen Florida task force. There's a lot of tourism businesses involved in that, and they seem really itching to get back in business. The question is, can you do it safely? Well, my number is 4. That's the number of percentage points Joe Biden is leading Donald Trump in the Quinnipiac poll that we discussed earlier. Presidential race hasn't really been top of mind lately, with the coronavirus response consuming really every waking moment for a lot of us, but it's going to be here before we know it. And this latest Q poll shows Florida again should be incredibly close. Biden got 46% in the poll to 42% for Trump. His 4-point lead is just outside the poll's margin of error. Biden is leading despite being holed up in his basement and because of coronavirus, while Trump is on television every day briefing the nation. But the president's handling of the coronavirus crisis has been sharply criticized, which really might be dragging him down in some of these polls. But a lot can change in the next few months, so we'll see what happens. That wraps up another episode of Inside Florida Politics. I want to thank our audio production team of Thomas Cordy, Joseph Rosano. Thanks to all of you for listening. Stay safe. We're out of here.